said.
Amen.
How good was that? Amen. Thank you for that. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Acts 12. Stand with me. We'll read our text tonight, Acts chapter 12. I choose to be a Christian. You know, if I could choose to be anything, that's what I'm going to choose.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
What a song. Thank you for that. Acts chapter 12. We're going to begin reading in verse number 18. And we're going to read it all the way to the end of this chapter. Verse 18 is where we're going to begin. The Bible says, "Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers." Now you might ask, well, why is there such a stir? Well, just a few minutes ago in this passage, God freed Peter from his shackles through the work of the angel. The doors flew open, the gate flew open, and Peter just walked out. But the prisoners, or rather the guards that were on duty, you know, whatever happened to them, whether they were paralyzed or they just fell asleep or whatever it is that God did, when they woke up and Peter was gone, this is not good, my friends. This is not good. And so that's why there's a stir. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. Verse 19, "And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers," that's the soldiers, "commanded that they should be put to death." Now, I think we know why they were stirred up. "And he went down from Judea," that is Herod, "to Caesarea, and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, and they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend." I wonder how they made him their friend. Maybe they got their checkbook out. I don't know. Money has a way of making friends, all I'm saying. "Desired peace." They wanted peace, right? "Because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them." You know, I wonder if it was actually a good speech. It doesn't really matter. It could be the worst speech of all time and they're going to cheer because they need him to think that they like him. And so they responded that way. In verse 22, "The people gave a shout saying, 'It's the voice of a God and not of a man.'" They just really needed him to like them. "And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him," that is Herod, "because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost." The word of, I love this last phrase here. Look at this, verse 24. "The word of God grew and multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." We're going to be talking about hindrances to the ministry, hindrances to what God wants to do in our life. You know, God has a way of taking care of those things. I think we forget that. A hindrance to us, it's not really a hindrance to God. You know, hard things to us, it's not really hard for God. And I think we see that here. We'll talk about that in a minute. Father, I pray your blessings. We need you tonight. So we pray for your help, your guidance, your strength, your wisdom. Touch our hearts. We need you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. When I was in high school, I played football. And I liked football. I mean, I only played 1 year for a couple of reasons. My ninth grade year, I played football. I was going to play after that, but I ended up going to the Christian school, and we didn't have a football team, and that's okay. Kind of probably saved me from a lot of very serious injuries. But that 1 year in ninth grade, I did play. And I liked it. I had a good time. I felt like, you know, I felt like I had certain kinds of abilities, and I enjoyed just the game and the process and all that went along with it. I just enjoyed those things and learning about the game and learning how to do plays and things. I liked all of those things. I remember trying out for the varsity team as a freshman, and I didn't know what that even meant. You know, I was on the freshman team, but some of the guys on the freshman team like, "Yeah, we're going to try out for varsity." I'm like, "What's that?" You know, it basically just means you're going to go against giant people. And there's, you know, if there's a 50% chance you're going to get hurt, then when you try out for the varsity team, it jumps to like 90%. That's basically what it meant. Of course, I didn't know that was the fine print. Go into practice, and I was on the B team. Probably more like on the C team, somewhere in the, you know, low class. But it basically meant that the starters would beat up on us. And when it's practice time, we would formulate the play structured like the team, the opponent we're about to play that Friday. So it's like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're structuring the plays, and the plays are just the same plays that the team we're about to play is going to use. So I remember we got in the huddle and they tell us what to do, and the play that was called out was a play that I'm going to get to run the ball. And I was excited. I was a slot player. So that, for those of you who don't know what that means, I wasn't a running back, but I wasn't a wide receiver on the end. I was kind of in between the quarterback and the outside wide receiver. I was in the slot. Now you just learned something about football. And so what you do is the quarterback, he's over here. He says, hut, 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 or whatever. And then I immediately turn this way and I run towards the quarterback. And he hikes it. He steps back and holds the ball right here in front of him. And I'm running this way. And I grab the football from the quarterback, and then the guard and the tackle are two people on the offensive line. For those of you who don't know what that means, talk to me after church. They split a hole in the defense, and it was like I could see daylight. It was awesome. These guys just moved our starting defense, which was a little bit sad for us, but we didn't win very many games this year. They split the line, and I go through the first level. I'm carrying the ball, and I'm thinking, this is great. And then I see one of our tight end. He comes over here, and he just lays out our linebacker. I mean, the other guy who's supposed to tackle me, he's laying on the ground now. And now I'm home free. I'm in second level. First level, the offensive line. Nobody even touched me. I mean, they didn't even touch me. And then I see the linebacker fly to the side. I'm like, this is a touchdown. I'm going all the way. And then, but there's the safety. There's one more guy out there. And he was a senior and I'm a freshman. He was big and I was small. Okay. And I thought, well, I'm home free now. This guy can't stop me. So I run and I push the circle button on the video controller. What's the circle button do? That's the spin move. You knew the spin move. So I'm going to do a spin move. And I run up there. I got the ball. And I stop. And I do a spin. The problem was is he grabbed my pants. And I know Miss Young's laughing. He didn't pull my pants down. It's okay. But he did take my feet and just plant them into the ground with my cleats. So here's what that means. My body is spinning, but my foot isn't. My foot is planted. My body is spinning. And my right foot was facing that way when my body was facing that way. Uh-oh. I heard three pops. Pew, pew, pew. I think it sounded like that. And then I laid on the ground and cried. I remembered the coaches ran over and all the players. And it's just like this huge huddle of guys standing around me. And I remember one of the coaches walked up. And he, I found out, was one of the jokester mean ones. And he walked up and he said, I can see your bone. I said, what? And of course he was teasing. Not a good time to tease. I was in excruciating pain. And what that was a high ankle sprain. Okay, it was a bad one. And I pulled tons of tendons, went to the doctor, and here's what the doctor said. If you would have broke your bone, it would have healed faster. Thanks, doc. So now I'm sidelined, crutches. And that guy who was the senior who tackled me and busted my ankle, he felt bad the whole rest of the year. Actually, it worked out in my favor. He's like, he was my buddy. He'd always pull me under his arm. This is my buddy. I broke his foot. I feel bad about it, So we just had that connection. I think sometimes we have hindrances. You can't play football if your foot is messed up. You just can't play. I mean, you can stand on the sideline and cheer, but you're not much help in the game. And I think that happens in our life. We have a sprain. We have things, hindrances that keep us from doing what God wants us to do. Now, it's things that, God can help us to overcome, but it's hindrances that cause us to not be effective for God. And what God wants to do, listen, God wants to help us to overcome the hindrances. He wants to keep us from being sidelined. And so often we allow ourselves to get sidelined by things, to not be used, to not be effective, and God wants to strengthen us through that. Now, the church needed that. We need that. The church needed that. They'd been used of God to deliver the message of the gospel, and listen, when they did that, it brought opposition. There was an opposition to the church because of the message of the gospel. Listen, as shocking as this might sound to you, not everybody is excited about the gospel. Not everybody is excited to hear the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because people like the life that they're living. People like their sins. People like the darkness. As a matter of fact, Jesus told us that in John chapter 3. Men are lovers of darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And that's the world we live in. And that's the world God's called us to. And it's not any different today as it was in Bible time. So God sent his people, the Great Commission. He just, strengthened the church in Acts chapter 1. And he said, go to Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. He said, go and be a witness. And that's what they were doing. But it wasn't a popular thing. It wasn't making them, having the status. It was bringing opposition. And that oppression was causing them to not be able to spread the gospel like they would have. As a matter of fact, people needed to spread. They needed to get away from that persecution. They were running for their lives.
Right.
I mean, remember Stephen? That was happening. Why did Stephen get stoned? Because he was preaching the gospel.
Right.
And that's the opposition the church was feeling. Now, if you can understand with me, there were hindrances to the ministry. Now, we face hindrances, but praise God we don't face those kinds of hindrances today. Now, we might someday, and I don't wish for it, we might someday face this kind of persecution and opposition, and there is opposition in this world. But my prayer is everyone who's sitting in a pew in this place tonight, that you would stand and you would move forward like any Christian in Bible times, we would do the same. Why? Because we have the same Holy Ghost living in us and the same Savior who brought us out of our sins and set us upon a rock and gave us everything we needed to stand for Him and live for Him out in this world. And so we're equipped. We have everything we need to stand for Him. The church was oppressed, they were facing opposition, and that's the turmoil that they were under. And in these times, it was a hindrance to what God wanted to do. Listen, the Word of God could not spread like it could. The Word of God was not able to spread when there's hindrances. I mean, when there's stumbling blocks in the way. It's kind of hard to move forward when there's stumbling blocks in the way. You can't just plow through. I'm just going to plow through it. Well, my ankle's busted. I have a sprained ankle. I can't just get out there and play. This is a hindrance. And there are hindrances, and there were hindrances to the church. Now, here's what we need to understand. Let's not pretend like there's not hindrances. Let's not just do the thing where, if you just think yourself healthy, then you'll be healthy. No. There are legitimate hindrances, but here's what we need to understand. Can God overcome hindrances?
Yes.
Can God take care of them? Can God remove them? Can God do something in a way where we can move forward and be used of Him? Can He take those hindrances and get rid of them? He can.
Amen.
And that's what we need to see. We need to see that. We need to be strengthened by this. Because here's what happens. Hindrances sideline us. We don't have the faith that we should. We don't see God as able to remove this or change this or do something about this. When He can. And He will. And we see that here. The church needed to move forward. I mean, the gospel needed to be spread. And listen, if it didn't happen, the gospel wouldn't have made it to America. The gospel, listen, chapter 13 is the first missionary journey. Think with me. And why do we love missionaries here? It's because missionaries, we're here.
Amen.
Right.
And in chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas are sent of the Lord, and they're going to spread the gospel, which is why it came to the United States of America. I mean, this is history right here. But the devil doesn't like that. Why? Because he doesn't like the message of the gospel and the hope for mankind. So what does he do? Hindrances. But they can't stop what God wants to do.
Amen.
And that's what we need to see. Look at it with me. Verse, 18. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers that was what was become of Peter. So, like I was saying just a moment ago, there was quite a stir. The reason why is because it was Roman law, or it was common practice in Roman law that if you're on duty when a prisoner escapes, then you suffer the penalty of that prisoner. Which was why, remember, the Philippian jailer we'll see here in a while in chapter 16, maybe a couple years when we get there, I don't know. In chapter 16, that when the prison doors open up, that the jailer was going to fall on his sword. Remember that? Why was he going to do that? Well, that's far better of a death than what he would suffer if he didn't take his own life, or he saw it that way. And so the prisoners here, they're stirred up. There's 16 guards. There's 16 guards, by the way. And they're searching. The search parties were created. And probably the families of the soldiers are part of these search parties. Get out there. We need to find Peter. Well, why? Because there's a consequence associated to this. Now, it says in verse number 19, this is interesting to me because it tells us a lot about Herod. Herod sought for him and found him not. Look what it says next. He examined the keepers. What does that mean? Well, it means that he did a cross-examination. He asked them, what happened? And what would you say? I mean, we fell asleep. Probably shouldn't say that. I don't know what happened. He was gone. I mean, he was gone. And in the process of this cross-examination, Herod lost his temper. And you know what I think that we see here? That he had a way of, you know, just wanting, demanding things to be his way. He wanted it his way. We're going to see that in the next section here. And he wasn't happy with their report. And so he ruthlessly condemned them, by the way, for something they had nothing to do with. They were just doing their job. But he condemned them to death. And you know, that tells us a lot about Herod. You know Herod was all about? It was all about himself. Herod was focused on his own status. And you know what? He would destroy anybody to get that status. I mean, he didn't care. And so they were killed. All the soldiers were killed. Look at verse number 20, and we'll see another part of Herod. Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. So this is a transition. We're not even talking about the keepers, the soldiers who kept guard of Peter. Now we transition and we're just focused on Herod and how he was highly displeased. You know what's amazing, as it says there, that he was displeased with this of this region? It doesn't even tell us why. He was overseeing their grain distribution and he was bringing oppression on them. And so they weren't getting the feed, they weren't getting the nutrients that they needed. They weren't able to feed their families. Why? Because Herod had something against them. Now, what was it? We don't know. But here's what we know. Herod's not a good guy. Herod wasn't a gracious guy. I mean, it could have been something petty. And he says, oh, you're going to be this way? And it might have been something completely out of their control. But Herod decides, and this is going to be my decision towards you. I'm going to cut off your grain supply. You're not going to be able to feed your families. You're not going to be able to, you know, survive and move forward. And that's what he decided. And so the people, they're starving. I mean, they would have been suffering because of this opposition, this oppression. And so what they did is they did what they felt they, the only thing they could do is we need to figure out a way so that we can have a peace treaty with Herod. I mean, this guy, we need to come to a peace with him. And so they sort of cornered the chamberlain or the close associate of the king, Herod. And they probably bribed him in some way so that he might get, you know, put together an appointment so that there can be a treaty take place. And so Blastus did all of the, you know, arrangements, and we're going to have this big ceremony, and there's going to be pomp and circumstance, and he's going to come in with the big robe and flowers, and people are going to be cheering, and it's just going to be a day of glory and all about the glamour for Herod. And he comes in and the people of Tyre and Sidon are there. Now, remember why they're there? Because they're starving. They're there because they need Herod to like them. Right. And they're cheering and they're excited and they love Herod. But I feel like it's not so much real love, but just, you know, we need you to, you know, be easy on us. And so he comes in and there's this, you know, this celebration, and it's all just about Herod, and it's all about Herod. And he gives an oration. It means he gives a speech. He speaks to them. I don't know what he would have said, but probably talked a lot about himself and about, you know, how good of a guy he is and how wonderful, you know, things are going to be. And, you know, if you just, you know, if you have me over you and you, you know, all this, and which is, you know, just we could picture that this would have been the way that it was. And after the end of the oration, listen, the people shouted that this is the voice of a god and not of a man. Now, Herod liked that. Actually, it's what he's looking for all the time. Now, remember when he put Peter in prison in the first place? It extends all the way back to there. He did it after he took James and had his head removed and saw that it pleased the Jews. Why? Because that's what he's all about, is pleasing people so that he could bolster his status. And he continued on with Peter. Peter's released, and of course we see a little bit of his character, but now we're at Tyre and Sidon, and they're praising him, and they're giving adoration to Herod, and he's receiving all of it. By the way, what is about to happen to Herod here is a lesson for all of us. We need to be careful to receive glory unto ourselves. Amen. I think I'm going to say that again. We need to be careful to receive glory unto ourselves. Amen. You know, both internally and externally. Yep. And we need to remember what this is all about. And it's not about us. Yep. It's all about him. We're faithful because of him. We're not faithful for any other reason. Now, we can be motivated to because of love and because of concern and because of, you know, the testimony we want to be to our family. But ultimately, what undergirds all of that is that we give glory. It's all for his glory and all for his honor. That is the motive. Why? Because nothing else will do. You won't stick, you won't stay if it's all about you and your glory or anything else other than him. So we're motivated by that. Well, Herod obviously wasn't. He was motivated by himself. And God brought judgment immediately on him. Now, I'm thankful. The Bible says he was eaten away by worms. Historians say that he had some sort of a painful abdomen issue. And it lasted 5 days. And he died in pure suffering and agony. I mean, the Bible says eaten of worms. And then, you know, the historian reports it that way. Either way, not good. You know, eaten of worms. I mean, this is a judgment that God brought onto Herod because of his response to the glory that was given to him. Now, here's what I want you to see, which is amazing about all of this story, is immediately after Herod was off the scene, the word of God went forward. Amen. Very next verse. And then the verse after that, God sent Paul and Barnabas with John Mark back to the church in Antioch. Why? Well, when we get to chapter 13, you'll see. Because it's going to get exciting. The word of God moved forward. And the work of God moved forward. Watch. When God removed the hindrance. Herod was a hindrance to the ministry. He was bringing opposition and oppression to the work of God. And God removed it. You know what's amazing is that he used circumstances that really had nothing to do with the believers. Something entirely different. But God took care of it. He took care of it. And he'll do that for us. He'll do that for you. Amen. When you have hindrances and you sense, not just sense them, but they're there clearly. And sometimes we get discouraged about it and we wonder, is it ever going to be better? Is it ever going to be gone? Is it ever going to get corrected? God can remove hindrances. I like to run. I mean, can I re-say that? I run. Like to. I need to. And there are times when I like to. But I remember years ago, this was when I was in Falls City, and I was jogging on the sidewalk. And in Falls City, the sidewalks aren't always, you know, level. And it was dark. And I'm running, and I have my phone, and I'm listening to a sermon, and I'm just going. And I hit one of those sections of the sidewalk when it was uneven. And I kicked the front of that sidewalk, you know, wham. And I'm jogging, right? And I lost my... I'm right by the main highway, too. And there were cars driving by. It was so embarrassing. And I just kicked that thing, and then I just did... Slow motion, by the way. Ooh, and you're nervous. I'm going to fall on you right now. Miss Jamie, where are you at? She was nervous I was going to fall off the other day. I'll be okay. And I just face planted right on the sidewalk. I mean, my phone and everything, it's just like, you know, all over the place. And one lady rolled her window down and yelled at me, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm all right. You know, I'm pretty embarrassed right now." I didn't say that. Hindrances. The sidewalk itself was a hindrance to me. I remember jogging at the lake there in Falls City also. We have a lake in Falls City. It's real small. More like a pond, but anyway. It has a little track that goes all the way around it, and I'm jogging on that. No uneven sidewalk, thank goodness. But there was a snake on the sidewalk. Yeah, and I didn't see it till it was like 6 inches from me. Can you imagine, Pam? So I'm running, and I'm on this sidewalk, and I thought it was a stick. Hand on my heart, thought it was a stick. Wasn't a stick. Until I got really close, and then I could see, and I even had my contacts on. I don't see well anyway, but it was a snake. I mean, you know, whenever you scare a cat and you spook a cat and it just flies straight up in the air, that was me. I saw that snake, whoa, and I just jumped off into the grass and did a big U-turn and looked around to see if anybody saw that. Snakes are a hindrance. You're not going to keep running if you keep tripping. You're not going to keep running if there's snakes on the sidewalk, you know. Let me give you one more. My cousin, when we were young, I was in seventh grade. I remember this vividly. I asked the Lord to help me forget it, but, you know, he keeps bringing it back to my mind. We did a camp out, and we're on this farm. There's so many dynamics to this story. Anyway, we're on this farm, and we're camping out, and we found this water hole. It's just my cousin, myself, and his friend, just three guys. Water hole, and I mean, it's just a small water hole, about the size of this platform section right here, just real small, but it was like 8 foot deep. And so we're like, hey, water hole, let's go. And it was cold and it was summer. So we went out there and we were just jumping in and getting out and jumping in. We were having a blast. And then my cousin, who's older than me, and his friend also older than me, and I'm pretty small in seventh grade. So my cousin grabbed my feet and his friend grabbed my arms and they do the 1, 2, 3 thing, right? 1, 2, 3. And then they throw me in the water and I hit and I go under. And as soon as my head pops out, they're yelling, snake! Snake! They're yelling snake at me. And I'm like, these guys are liars. You know, they're just messing with me. And my head's popped up out of the water, and I turned around like this, and a snake head was right there, and it was coming at me. I had a Jesus moment. I was walking on the water, friends. I do not remember how I got out of that water. It's just, I was on the ground. I was out of the water, on the land. I'm not into snakes, okay? It's a hindrance to swimming. I never got back in that water. So we have sidewalks that get in the way. You know what sidewalks that have uneven and you're trying to jog? You know what they make you do? They make you fall. You know what hindrances along the way cause us to do from what God has for us? They cause us to fall. Right. And along the way, God wants to use us to do a great work for Him. He wants to use you. And the devil puts hindrances in the way. And those hindrances are designed by the devil to cause you to trip and to fall. He doesn't want you to continue. He wants you to stop. He wants you to be hindered. But here's what God says. There's no hindrance that can stop what I have for you. I can remove any hindrance. I can get any hindrance out of the way. What you need to do is to trust me and you need to move forward. Hindrance is in the way. Isn't always things that cause us to fall. They're like a snake. I mean, they just make you like jump and go a different way, you know? Like if it's on the sidewalk, if there's a snake on the sidewalk, I'm not on the sidewalk. Okay? It's a legitimate hindrance. He wins. There's no competition. Like, I'm not gonna get into a fight with this thing. You want this sidewalk? Then you need to, this is my sidewalk. No, you can have it. It's all yours. And, you know, and so, you know, I go around. That's how it can be when God is working in our life. A hindrance gets in the way, and we just get off of God's path. We go a different way. And God says, wait, hello, hang on. Is that what I have for you? Are you going to change and go a totally different way when I'm not leading you to do that because of this hindrance? How about you just trust that I can remove that hindrance? How about you get on your knees and pray and ask God, first of all, is this the path you want me to be on? Am I doing what you want me to do? Because if so, there's a hindrance here, and I'm just going to keep pressing on, trusting that you're going to remove that hindrance. You know God can remove hindrances. Yep. He wants to. He wants to. He's faithful. Sometimes it's not just that we get off track. Watch this. Sometimes we stop jumping in. Why? Well, did you know what was in there? I'm not jumping into that again. Forget that. No thanks. My cousin, you know, he's crazy. Like, he's still crazy. Him and his friend, like, snake, let's go. Grabbed a stick, threw it out on the ground, and then it was hilarious. We're all in our shorts, you know, and our skivvies and stuff, and they're just bam, bam, we're hitting that snake on the ground. We're just taking it out. Listen, I don't know why I told you that part. Miss Jackie asked about the two ladies at the bottom of the thing. You know, I don't know, they may be still down there, but I want to finish the story for you. You know, we destroyed that snake. He's gone. Anyway. You know, along the way, we have those hindrances to what God is calling and leading us to do, and we won't jump in because of something that we're afraid about. Right. We won't get involved with ministry. We won't get involved with the things we know God wants us to do because of a hindrance. The real question is, what does God want you to do? Is there a hindrance? Well, yeah, there is. Is it legitimate? Of course it is. God can remove it. He wants to remove it. You know, I think hindrances keeping us from obeying God really just become excuses, don't they?
Yep.
When we serve a great God. Remember how we started? I think we said it during the offering time. I don't remember when I said it, but, you know, hard things are hard things for us, but they're not hard for God.
Amen.
Challenges are challenges for us, but they're not challenges for God. The difficult things we face, they're difficult for us, not difficult for God. And He can remove them, and He will remove them, and He wants to. We just need to keep walking, moving in the way He wants us to go. And let Him remove them. You know what? You don't have to get on your bulldozer. Remember, let's get the bulldozer back out. Talk about the bulldozer. You ever seen a bulldozer create something beautiful? I mean, I like bulldozers, but usually they destroy things, which guys like to do. But if you want to build something, a bulldozer isn't going to build a beautiful construction. It'll destroy the old one and the bad one. But, it, you know, we need to get off our bulldozers and stop trying to push through on things. If there's a hindrance, let God remove it. Just let Him do it. The Christians weren't involved with this. Herod was taken off the scene. He was gone. He was eaten of worms. And God did it. And He'll do it for you. And you know who gets the glory? Whenever God does it, God gets the glory. Not you. I love it. Imagine, wouldn't you? Oh man. My father-in-law would say this. He would say, I sure hope there's a big screen in heaven and God will replay some of the Bible stories. Some of those Bible stories from the past, you know?
Amen.
Wouldn't you love to have been there when the walls of Jericho came down? And just see it. Or whenever Jesus, the lady that the girls sang about, and she said, I got to get to Jesus. And she touched Jesus and He healed her. Wouldn't you love to have seen that? How about this one? Wouldn't you love to have been with Israel when Moses stood at the edge of the Red Sea, and he called out to God, and he took his staff, and we see the imagery, but I would guess that nothing touches the real thing. And God took the Red Sea that was impassable. I would call that a hindrance, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And anybody, you can't turn around. I mean, the bad guys are coming. We turn around, we're for sure gone. So it was either go back and die or move forward and die. It's hopeless. No, it's not hopeless. Because God can remove any hindrance.
Amen.
Moses lifted the staff and the waters parted, friends. The waters parted and they walked across on dry ground. Because that's our God.
Amen.
He can remove any hindrance.
Amen.
What are you being challenged by? What are your hindrances? What does God have for you? Are you doing what He wants you to do? Are you where He wants you to be? Are you on the right path? Keep going. If there's a hindrance, then you pause and you pray and you let God remove it, but don't get off the path He has for you. What does God want you to be involved with? What is the hindrance? Well, God wants me to be involved, but I can't because of this hindrance. Well, why don't we just pause right there, pray, and let God remove that hindrance so you can jump in and get involved. Yeah. Let's not let hindrances trip us up. Hindrance, some of you fallen. You're falling. You fell away. You fell. But you don't have to stay down. A just man falleth seven times, rises again. You know, I think he said seven just because. Right? Had to throw a number out there. 7 times 70. Get back up. By the way, there's no limit on 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll set you on that rock again. You fell, that's, you know, we all do. Ask Him to forgive you, get back up and keep going. Why? Because He can remove all the hindrances, and He wants to. And it might be tonight your hindrance is here. Look at me, I'm almost done. Look. I want you to see what I'm doing right now. Some of you, your hindrance is right here. It's not real. You won't move forward because of things that you think.
Yep. Right.
And it's lies. You know who the chief liar is? The chief. The father of lies. Jesus called Him the father of lies. That's the devil. He deals in lies. He wants you to be hindered right here. You don't have to be hindered. He can remove them. He can part the Red Sea. You can move forward. You just need to trust Him. You need to pray and ask God, would you remove this hindrance? I don't want to trip and fall. I don't want to get off the path. I don't want to not be involved because of something I'm afraid about. Would you take care of these things? He will.